Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Amen. We're going to be looking today at the beginning of a series that I've entitled "The Nature and Work of Faith." The Nature and Work of Faith. We summarized, if you remember, the last 8 verses of chapter 10 as a call to keep our faith alive. And I have to remind you again that when God inspired Paul to write these letters to the Jewish believers, that he did not put it in verse or in chapter. And this was done for our sake, so that we might study, we might know the word of God, we might be able to talk about it together this way. But this is a continuing thought that Paul had regarding our faith in our God. In the last verses of chapter number 10, he gave us a call to keep our faith alive. Paul challenges us, his audience, to remember our former days, the days of our first faith, when God shined the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ into our hearts. And we were illuminated or lit up, the time that we got to know God. When we got saved, he says, "I want you to remember that." Amen. He also says that we need to remember the afflictions that we experience when we join hands and hearts with other believers. And yes, we need to remember that there were things that we might have lost, things that we might have given up, things that we changed about our lives, and things that we should have been okay with changing in our lives, because we were new creatures, new men, new women, new children in Christ Jesus. Paul then challenged us to stay true to our faith in God, to cast it not away, to hold on to our faith, because it will be our faith in God that will give us the patience to keep on doing the will of God until we obtain God's ultimate reward, to join him in his glory. You know, I had to stop and spend a little time there myself, because Paul was telling us there in his word that it ain't going to be easy. But it is going to be your faith in God that is going to give you the patience to endure all that you endure until we get the ultimate reward, which is to be with God in his glory. He says, we got to be faithful. We got to be faithful for a little while, he says. And then he's coming. It may be in our lifetime. It may not be. But we got to be faithful, knowing that God is going to do what he said. But with faith, I can go on and do what he's called upon me to do. And I can do it without wavering. I just need to run on and to live out my life as a man, as a woman, as a child of faith. For the just, or those who have been truly justified by God, will live in the current day by faith. The just will live today by faith. But Paul also gives us a stern warning that if any man draws back, then that soul has no association with the soul of the believer. Stern words. But words that will have no consequence for those who choose to live in faith, not just for today, but every day. Amen. We need to keep our faith alive. Amen. We need to keep our faith alive. Last week we looked at Luke chapter 2. And we looked at the story of the coming of Christ. The promise that God had made to us that there would be a Messiah. We saw how God let us see that Christ was a fulfillment of that hope. And I wanted you to see that so that we would understand exactly what it is that God expects that we have faith in. We're not to have faith in our faith, but we're to have our faith in our God and in the hope that He has promised us. And we need to keep that faith alive. But in anticipation of our question, what does it mean to be faithful and to have faith? Paul provides a look into the nature and the work of faith. And that's what we're going to look at today in these first six verses, of Hebrews chapter 11. The nature and the work of faith. First of all, let's look at the nature of faith. Let's read again a little bit out of Hebrews 11. It says in verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report." Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Faith, the Bible says here, is the substance of things hoped for. Now, what does that mean? What that means is that faith is the ground, or faith is the confidence. Faith is the foundation on which our hope stands. Faith is the foundation on which our hope stands. And you know, I thought about this in relation to the previous things that Paul has talked about, where Paul said, if there's one who turns back, we'll have no pleasure in him. We'll have no association with him. And the reason that Paul would say something like that, because if your foundation moves, if your building, it doesn't have a good foundation, when the foundation moves, the building crumbles. And now Paul says, I want you to understand that you need a good foundation, and your faith is that foundation. Your faith is the foundation of your hope. In other words, if you don't have a good faith system, then you don't have hope in anything at all. Not spiritually. You've got to have a faith in God to believe that the glory of God actually exists for you and I. That heaven is a goal for us. That God's salvation is real. God says you have got to have a good foundation. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. What is our hope? What is our hope? Our hope is the salvation of the Lord. Simply put, that is our hope, the message of the gospel. Now, I want to show you a couple things. Look in Colossians chapter number 1. That's on page 869 in your pew Bibles. Colossians chapter number 1, to your left. Colossians chapter number 1. Let's begin reading at verse number 3. Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 3. Regarding our hope, because we've got to make sure we have the right understanding of what God expects of us. Verse number 3, it says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth." Before we read any further, I want to go back, make sure you understand. In verse 3, it says, "We give thanks to God, and we pray for you." We pray for you, he says, since we heard that you have latched on to the truth of the gospel. And verse number 5, he says, "We pray for you for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven." He says that is what on the foundation on which our faith stands. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you, verse 6, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God and truth. As you also learned in Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. What is our hope? Our hope is laid up in heaven. Our hope is that we are going to be with God one day. And I've told you before, I'm not talking about, I hope when I get home, dinner is ready. Not that kind of hope. Not maybe someone will have done it, but we're talking about a hope, a faith, a knowing that God is going to do exactly what he said. That is our hope. Amen. That is our hope. Now, I want to make sure you understand it. So one more place, let's look. Go to 1 Peter, if you would. Chapter number 1, page 894 in your pew Bibles, to your right. Amen. Hebrews, James, 1 Peter. 1 Peter, chapter number 1. Just a couple of verses, beginning at verse number 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope." Here it is. "Unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Now, what is God telling us? Where is our hope? He says, our hope, and for the believers, he says in the Old Testament days, there were people, they were believing, they were looking for a Messiah. But he says, our hope. Our hope has been made alive again. It is a lively hope. It is one in which we can trust because we have experienced the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. That is our hope. That is our hope. One more. Hebrews, go backward to your left, chapter number 6. Page 886 in your pew Bibles. Hebrews chapter number 6. Skip down to verse number 17. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17, the Bible says this, "Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability or the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge," and here it comes, "to lay hold upon the hope set before us." Amen. "Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul." Do you see what God is talking to us about? The hope. "Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." He says the sending, if I can put it this way, the sending, the living, the loving, the dying, and the resurrection of Christ is the hope that serves as an anchor of the love that God has for us. Amen. Simply put, we believe in God. And our faith is that God never changes. Now, understanding what our hope is, now let's think about what God just told us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. He says, it's our foundation. It's our foundation. Amen. And he said, that foundation is what we build upon as we wait patiently on the hope that God has set before us. Now, I want to show you something. When God says faith is the evidence of things hoped for, The evidence of the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Look at John chapter 3. I want to show you this. I hadn't thought about it in this regard until I started to prepare for the message. In John chapter 3, beginning at verse number 3, page 780 in your pew Bible, if you remember while you're turning there that God is talking, Christ is talking here to Nicodemus, who has snuck in to talk with Christ and to verify that he is who he said he was. And here we see Christ talking to Nicodemus. And in verse number 3, I want to read a little bit more than will make the point, but I want to make sure that we understand the context in which he was talking to Nicodemus. Verse number 3, it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Can I give you a paraphrase? Here's a paraphrase. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's what he was saying to Nicodemus right there. Nicodemus said, How in the world can that be? How can it happen? God says, you got to believe it can happen. You got to believe that you must be born again. And you got to not be trying to figure out how can I get back up in my mother's womb. You got to stop trying to overanalyze the word of God. And you got to believe in the word of God. And he says, you got to hope on the word of God.
Amen.
That's the nature of faith. Y'all see where I'm going? That is the nature of faith. Now let's read a little bit more. In verse number 5, he says, That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. He could have put it right there. Verse 7, he says, Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. He says, The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Now I want you to understand what God is talking to us about. He says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. He says the wind, it blows in different directions. He says, guess what? You don't know where that stuff comes from. You don't know the beginning and you don't know the end. He says, we see what we see. It is the evidence of the wind. We see the trees, we see them blowing, and we know that something's going on up there. We see things that are being tossed to and fro. We see it. We can feel the wind on our bodies when it's cool and cold outside, when it's hot and we want a nice breeze. He says, you feel it. You know that it's there, but you cannot see the air and you cannot touch it. He says, we just know how it affects us and the things around us.
Amen.
You see that? He says, you don't know where it is. You can't touch it. You can't see it. But you just know how it affects you. So is our faith.
Amen.
He says, that is what we hope for.
Amen.
He says, we know, Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. He says, you've got to let the Spirit of God just get all over you so that you can feel Him when you cannot see Him.
Amen.
He says, and you've got to know that He's there because you can feel Him in your body. And you can feel the change that He brings about in your life.
Amen.
He says, Nicodemus, that's faith. And what he says to us today, harvesters, faith is the substance of things hoped for.
Amen.
It's the evidence of things not seen. God, I believe in you.
Amen.
That's the nature of faith.
Amen.
That is the nature of faith. God rests on the believers.
Amen.
And we can see His Spirit in our lives, just like the wind. He says, by faith, the elders, they obtained a good report. And through faith, go back to Hebrews 11 one more time. He says, through faith, because this is so important, I don't even want you to miss it. In Hebrews 11, verse number 3, he says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Guys, I got to put this to you as plainly as I can. Through faith, we know, we understand, we believe that the worlds were framed by the word of God.
Amen.
7 days, just like he said, And that everything that we see now was made out of absolutely nothing. That God spoke it into being. God created it all. Now let me tell you, I don't care what the scientists say. The Bible says that God said, let there, and there was.
Amen.
And I believe in that.
Absolutely.
And let me tell you, I'm bold enough to tell you, based on the word of God here, that if you don't believe in the creation, as God said in Genesis, you don't believe in the God that I serve.
Amen.
Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. I don't know how he did it.
Amen.
And quite honestly, I don't care. I know he did it.
Amen.
I know he did it. And I believe that he did it. And there is nothing that you can say to me to convince me otherwise. There is nothing that you can say that can convince me otherwise. I don't believe that any small one cell organism did anything for me. I don't believe that I started from anything other than a little boy born across the street in an old building now not almost needing to be knocked down. That's what I believe. I believe that he did what he did just like he said he did it. And that's the foundation of my faith. God says through faith, the foundation of our hope, the foundation of our hope in God, we believe and understand that the worlds were framed. How? By the word of God, just like God said. Now, let's look at one last thing and we'll move on. Psalm 33. Page 440 in the Pew Bible. Psalm 33. God says, I need you to understand the nature of faith, I believe, is what I picked up from these verses. Now, we need to understand that our faith is a foundation on which we build our hope. Our faith is in our God. Our faith is in the message of God, the truth of the gospel, that Jesus Christ came to this earth. He was sent to this earth for the purpose of living and dying, being raised from the dead by the glory of God the Father. And our faith in the work of Christ is all that we need in order to be with God in his glory. In Psalm 33, let's begin reading at verse number 6. As we see the God's account, and we either believe it or we don't. Psalm 33, verse number 6, it says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Do you believe it? I do. It says, he gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him, for he spake and it was done.
Amen.
He commanded and it stood fast. That is the foundation on which my faith rests.
Amen.
Amen. That is what God said. And the nature of faith is that it is the ground on which our hope stands and we build on it, thereby increasing our faith in God. Thereby increasing our faith in God. I like what he said to Nicodemus. I like the way he put it. He says, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. He says, don't worry about that. He said, don't get into all of that. He says, Don't get bogged down into all of those details. Instead, I need you to establish your faith on what you believe to be true.
Amen.
And then build upon it.
Amen.
So that's the nature of our faith. Now let's look, going back to Hebrews 11, at the work of faith. Now we will spend some time on the work of faith as God has given us what we call our Faith Hall of Fame, as we read chapter 11, as God gives account after account of those who he has deemed to have been faithful and has given them as examples for us. But we'll look at a couple today, time permitting, but as we look at the work of faith. I want you to understand that faith is alive. You know, faith is alive. Faith is active. Our faith is motivating. Our faith is a stimulator. our faith grows. Now, our faith is not something that just lays there. It is active. Now, we read a little bit in Colossians earlier, and I reserved a little bit of the remainder of that chapter because I thought it was helped to add some emphasis to this point. So go back to Colossians 1, page 870 in your pew Bibles. And this time, skip down. We're going to start at verse number 9. Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 9. Concerning the work of faith, I want you to see, we know now that our faith is the substance, the foundation, the building ground. It is important as it relates to the things that we hope for. It is our faith and how we live out our lives is the evidence of things not seen. Here in Colossians chapter number 9, Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 9, we see the work of our faith. The Bible says in Colossians 1:9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Man, I want to keep reading, but I got to tell you what I think this means. As we look at the work of faith, I want you to see what he says faith is going to do for us. Go back. Let's read verse 9 again. In verse number 9, I think what Paul is telling us here is that our faith, our active, alive faith, is going to bring about in us a desire to know God more. Now, let me show you what he says. He says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." That's one work of faith there, that faith is going to bring about in us a desire to know God better. Verse number 10, he says our faith is going to be the motivator that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Verse 10, he says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That our faith is going to be a motivator. Verse number 11, he says our faith is going to make us stronger. He says that you might be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Verses 12 and 13, he says, our faith is going to work to make us thankful and to make us aware of what God has done for us. Verse 12, he says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Verse number 14, he says, the work of faith is that faith gives you a brand new vision. Faith makes you see clearer. Verse number 14, he says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Verses 15 and 16, faith gives you a greater understanding of how things used to be, how things will be in the future. Faith is not passive. Look what he says in 15 and 16. He says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Verse 17, he says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. That's the work of faith. It's alive. It's stimulating. It's motivating. It's not passive. And think about it. When you read verses that says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is what gets you going. Amen. Our faith in God. Amen. Our faith in God. Amen. So what are the works of the faith in God? First of all, faith testifies of God. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Faith testifies of God. In Hebrews 11, verse number 4, The Bible says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaketh. The work of faith, faith testifies of God. You ready for this? Our faith testifies of God when we're living and when we're dead. When we're living and when we're dead. Now, go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 3, page 3 in your pew Bibles. Genesis chapter 4, excuse me. In life, Abel's actions spoke of his faith in God. He did what God said he should do. His obedience was his excellent sacrifice. That's what the Bible says. Now we have to make some real speculations about Cain and Abel, because we're not given a lot of details in Genesis or even here in Hebrews where they're mentioned again. One speculation is that God expected both to bring a sin offering, an animal, and Cain didn't. But here Paul suggests that it was not what they brought, but how they brought it. Okay? Abel brought his animal in faith. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground, but not in faith. Abel was a man of faith. His actions testified of his faith when he was alive, and God testified of him that his faithfulness was recognized. And God had respect of his offering, and his offering was accepted. Let's look at Genesis 4. Beginning at verse number 3, as we see the story of Cain and Abel, brothers here. In Genesis chapter 4, beginning at verse number 3, it says, "And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well." You know, and this is where I'm leaning towards Paul's explanation here. Because God is talking about faithfulness. He said, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door." When is sin most able to overtake us? At times when we are less faithful. We're not as aware of the will of God for our lives. "And thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and he slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." He says, "The voice of your brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." His faith testified of God when he was dead. And God does not forget our faithfulness. I guess is one of the points I want to make here most of all, is that God does not forget our faithfulness. If you were to look in Proverbs verse 10, it's just one verse there, I'll read it to you. It says, "The memory of the just is blessed." That's what God says. "But the name of the wicked shall rot." So and that makes a lot of sense when you think about the story of Cain and Abel. Because God said, even when Abel was dead, God said, "His blood calleth to me from the ground." His testimony. God did not forget his faithfulness even when his life was done. And for you and I, we ought to say amen, understanding that God never forgets, A, our coming to salvation. A, God never forgets the work that we do for him. And God says, I will reward you for what you've done in my name in heaven. God never forgets our faithfulness. The memory of the just, it's blessed. It's blessed here on earth. It's blessed in the heart of God. But the name of the wicked shall rot. God never forgets. I want to show you, if you need evidence, that our faith testifies of God both in our lives, present day, and after we are gone. Look in Revelation chapter number 2. I want y'all to think I'm making it up. Revelation chapter 2. Page 906 in your pew Bible. Revelation chapter number 2. Skip down to verse number 8. Actually, much of this chapter. But for the sake of time, we'll look at verses 8 through 11. Revelation 2, beginning at verse number 8, it says, "And unto the church, the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." You know what that means? God never forgets.
Amen.
He never forgets, and our faith testifies of God, both in life and in death. Verse 11, he says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." God never forgets. Faith creates a testimony as well that men will never forget. That men will never forget. Look in Psalm 112, page 473. Faith creates a testimony that men will never forget. Proverbs 10:7 says, "The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked is going to rot." Psalm 112 says, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot." And I like what he says here in verse 7. "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed. He is full of faith. His faith is the substance of things hoped for." Trusting in the Lord, the Bible says. Faith creates a testimony that men will never forget, that God will never forget, both living and dead. The work of faith. We got time for one more. Faith, it glorifies God. Faith glorifies God. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse number 5 this time. So we just learned in verse number 4 that our faith testifies of God when we're living and when we're dead. And if I could just highlight one last time in verse number 4, at the tail end of that verse, it says, "God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaks." So faith, our faith also glorifies God. In verse number 5, it says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." I think it's interesting that God inspired Paul to write up Enoch's faith here, because Enoch is only mentioned in Genesis 5. And what the Bible simply says about Enoch is that he was 65 years old when his son Methuselah was born. But most importantly, it was that he says about him that he walked with God for 300 years after that. He was a man of faith. And his faith please God.
Amen.
I want you to see what great efforts God is going through to make sure that we understand how important a good faith foundation is. God says, all you need to know about Enoch is that he was a man of faith. And for 300 years, he followed after God. And his faith pleased God. His faith pleased God. You know, first you say, well, what's the big deal? Well, we have to remember where Enoch lived, and to understand it, we have to read a little bit further about his story. Now, I told you he's mentioned in Genesis 5, but why don't we just look at Genesis 6 so you can understand what a big deal it was that God said, this man Enoch pleased him, walked after him for 300 years. Genesis chapter number 6, page 4 in your Bibles. Genesis chapter number 6. So in... since we're here, look at Genesis 5. Genesis 5, verse 21. Actually, he talks about Enoch beginning at verse number 18, talking about Enoch's daddy. But in verse number 21, it says, And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, go to chapter number 6 so that we understand the big deal. In chapter number 6, we see what was going on in Enoch's day. Now, I know that in 6 we're talking about Noah. But we also know, and I hope you know, that cities, both then and now, don't change overnight, not drastically. Things happen over time. And in Genesis chapter number 6, though we're talking about Noah, it gives us a great indication of what was going on in the days of Enoch. In verse number 5 of chapter 6, it says, And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Yet in the midst of all of that, guys, Enoch walked with God, and his faith pleased God. That is important for us to understand. In the midst of all that, he was found pleasing God, and pleasing God for some 300 years. And then there's Noah in Genesis 6, verse number 8. The Bible says, But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah, what? Walked with God.
Amen.
And for our learning, God expresses in Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If I could paraphrase it, I'd say it this way. For he that comes to God must believe that he is God. Enoch came, and he believed. Noah came, and he believed. Abraham came. He believed. Look at Abraham in Genesis 15. To your right, just a little bit. Page 10. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. In Genesis, verse number 15, beginning at verse number 1, chapter 15, beginning at verse number 1, the Bible says, After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield, and thy exceeding great reward. That's important. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. You know what God said to him there? Don't be afraid. Believe in me. I'm your shield. I'm your foundation. Believe in me. And Abram said, Lord God, what will thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be.
Amen.
And look at this. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness.
Amen.
It pleased God. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. We got to believe that he is God and believe that he is the rewarder, because he is. And he lets us hold this great truth in our hearts today. I want to take you two more places and we'll be done. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11. I just got to go back there one more time. And then we'll close out in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Hebrews 11. I hope you've seen the picture that I've tried to paint of the nature of our faith. That our faith is the foundation on which our hope stands. Our hope is in Christ, that he is the Messiah, that he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, and like as Christ was raised from the dead, even we also shall walk in newness of life. Verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Faith.
Amen.
It's active.
Amen.
It's a motivator. It's a stimulator. Our faith, it grows. And without that faith, it's impossible to please him.
Amen.
It's impossible to please him. But with our faith, we bring glory to our God. Now look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And second, that's on page 854 in your Pew Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. In Hebrews chapter number 11, we read that faith is the substance of things hoped for. What we believe, what we know of God, it is the foundation on which everything else rests. And without a good foundation, we have nothing. Our building's going to fall. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I read this, I think, for the last, I don't know, last 4 or 5 weeks we've seen this chapter in some form or fashion, because it's a good one. But this time, why don't you read, let's start at 6. In verse 6 he says, for God, who hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Verse 7, that our faith glorifies God. In verse 7 he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. He says, God has let us know this, hold this. God has let us know him in this body. He says, as we walk this walk, God has let us know it. He says, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That they might see what God is doing in our lives. That what our faith in God is doing for us. To us, through us, for others through us. Verse 8 he says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing, I like that, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. In verse 11, he says, "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest or might be made known in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you."
Amen.
You know what he's saying? My faith. My faith, though it might bring death for me, for you, for others, it will bring life. And let me tell you, that's not limited to Paul. It's not limited to a preacher. But that extends to all of us as believers in God. You know what God is saying? You please me through your faith in me. He says, now you go out and you build on that faith. Let that faith, which is the substance of the things that you hope for, let it be a great foundation. And you carry about that faith in your mortal body. And though you may be persecuted and cast down and slayed on every side, he says, let your faith be that thing that brings about a new life in somebody else. Let your faith work for God. Let it testify of God. Let it glorify God. Living and dead. What's the nature of our faith? It's the foundation of our hope. Our hope is in the Lord, that he will do what he said when he said he would do it. Our faith is to be alive, active, moving, motivating us to be alive, active, moving, and motivated to be a testimony of our God and to glorify our God. As long as our God allows us to be on this earth and as a testimony to our God and others when our days on this earth are spent. Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that you've laid out for us with so much clarity what pleases you. And more than anything else, it's our faith in you. It's a faith in the work that you have done. A faith in that you said, let there be, and there was, and it was done. That you created all things out of nothing. That it was your eternal plan that you would send Jesus Christ. And that it was a belief in the coming Messiah that the saints of old held true in their hearts. And that you did exactly what you said you would do, Lord, and that you brought Jesus Christ. You allowed him to be born of a virgin. You allowed him to be born there in a manger. You allowed him to be raised as one of us. You allowed him to live a life that was sinless. You allowed him to be persecuted and not believed in. You allowed him to be cast down yet not destroyed. You allowed him, Father, to be falsely accused and to be taken to the courtroom. You allowed him to be found guilty of a crime that he had not done. You allowed him to be ridiculed as they drug him through the streets. You allowed him to be beaten and scorned as they placed him on that cross. You allowed his body to be pierced, Father. You allowed him to bleed. You allowed him to die. You allowed him to be buried in a borrowed tomb. You gloriously, Father, rose him from the dead on the third day. You did it so that we might be able to see the truth of your gospel, that we might be able to build a faith on the firm foundation. And Father, we now place our hope in the work of Christ. Let that faith work in us. Let us be a testimony to you. Let us glorify you, Father. I pray. I pray that in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Amen.